The golden years are not for sitting back, writes Delmarva Public Radio essayist George Merrill, but a time to get on with the business of living.
I was boiling eggs one morning. I saw writing on them. Each egg had the words, use by, and then a date, March 28th. How did the hens do it, I wondered. Was I interfering with destiny, cutting short a chick's longevity, as it was only March 3rd? Would any of us live differently if we knew when we were going to die? Would we even want to know? Some scientists are saying we can tell how long we will live simply by analyzing DNA. A chemical analysis reveals our biological clock. It's not as if Obamacare isn't besieged enough. Imagine the havoc with the healthcare and insurance industries such predictions would create. Consider all the actuaries that would be looking for jobs. Predictable or no, more of us are living much longer lives than our parents. In a series of workshops I've led for the aging in the last several years, we frequently discuss aging and death. Participants have ranged from roughly 60 to mid-90s, a group generally healthy, active, and conscious of their mortality. We discussed many aspects of aging. It's safe to say we all agreed with Sir Damas Brown's classic observation, the long habit of living indisposeth us to dying. Except for near-death experiences, we know about death only about observing the death of others. We remain spectators when it comes to death. When discussing death, however, it's dying that we're really talking about. Jesus, whom many Christians believe rose bodily from death, says nothing of the actual experience of death itself other than its promised resurrection. Invariably, conversations about death turn to life. Birth, death, and impermanence are the three primary constraints that define our lives. To talk about one invariably involves discussing the others. From my own experience as an octogenarian and in facilitating my workshops, is that conversation among aging folk conscious of their mortality takes a different turn than younger people for whom mortality is more remote. The preoccupations of the younger are sometimes called horizontal concerns, that is, job, family, economic security, success, respect in the community, children, and the like. They are horizontal in that they require individuals to spread their energies more widely and broadly to achieve their goals. For many elderly who have finished walking those paths and done their horizontal task, what now? The cliche has been, it's all downhill from there. A fascinating and recently deceased rabbi named Zalman Schachter Shalomi wrote a cutting-edge book called From Aging to Saging. In it, he reframes the tired stereotype of old age as a downhill slide and shapes an exciting vision of what it means to become an elder. He sees our latter years as a distinct developmental phase, the same as children, young adults, middle-aged people who are mastering skills appropriate to the demands of their stage in life. Among those skills elders must learn are embracing one's life experience, understanding it in depth, cultivating wisdom, practicing gratitude, learning forgiveness, and giving service to others. It ain't over till it's over. We elder folk have all the time there is. There's a lot to do. Best we get on with it, lest we wind up with ache on our faces. George Merrill, On the Shore.